Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Fawning and screwing over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I'm Chris.
I'm Qualler.
I'm Bridget.
And our opinions are valid.
Oh, that was good.
Splat.
We have a special guest.
Yep.
Hi. I'm Ash Bash. Yeah. Yeah.
Ash Bash, our friend. Is that your internet name? Is that your
name?
It's yeah. My derby name.
It's just your name.
It's just my name. It's okay. Who I am, okay?
Okay.
It's an identity.
All right. Ash Bash is here, and we're all at Qualler and Bridget's house, and we just finished the season finale of season 3 of Game of Thrones.
Yes, yeah. And Chris just watched the Red Wedding episode for the first time and
right.
The season finale.
Yep, caught two in a row to get caught up in time for the finale.
And you were
Holy
not
old, two in a
the
row.
Entire week... You were not spoiled by the internet?
No.
All I
knew was called the Red Wedding, and so I inferred that people would die at a wedding.
Yeah.
did you envision what happens to have happened, or was that one of your suspicions, or?
It was, well, you know, for the first few, because I watched 7 episodes, basically, in the past week, and so for the first few episodes, I was like, it was probably Margaery and Joffrey's wedding. And then,
Were you disappointed when it...
Kind of. I guess that maybe... Because, like, I feel like some real shit would go down at Margaery and Joffrey's wedding if they were going to be calling that the Red Wedding.
Oh, I meant disappointed because, like, we want Joffrey to die.
Oh, I was not thinking that it would be Joffrey that would die if that was the scene. But anyways, But then when they started talking about what's-his-face marrying one of the Walder Frey daughters... Then I was like, oh, it's probably that because they're setting it up to be something for... And I guess what really clicked for me was in the last episode when Arya and the Hound were just in view of... what's the setting? Casterly Rock? No.
No.
The twins.
The twins. They were just in view of it, and then the Hound said something like, we'll be there just in time for the wedding or something like that. And I was like, oh, so that's probably the Red Wedding. And so then I... kind of started putting more together and being like, well, Walder Frey's pissed that Robb Stark didn't marry somebody, so maybe they'll get back him for that. But I didn't make the Bolton connection back with the Lannisters and everything, so I don't know. I guess I still liked it. I think it was very well done. The thing you remarked about the Reigns of Castamere being played
was
starting.
Like, not this time, but when I saw it last week, kind of sent chills up my spine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that was a very, like, that was a moment that I really was like, oh, because I knew it was coming the whole time, because I begged Qualler and Ashley Ashbash to spoil it for me, because I want to know what's happening, because they're both reading the books. So, I've actually been looking forward to that, to this all season. So, unlike all the outraged people on the internets, I was like... When's the Red Wedding gonna happen? But I thought it was gonna be... I think we all thought it was gonna be the season finale.
Well, the penultimate's the new finale, right?
Yeah.
We talked about this last year with Blackwater, right?
Right, yeah. Right. The finale is the denouement. I think I actually said that exact same thing.
Probably. And Bridget probably laughed that way.
Yeah.
So there was a thing that I know happens from the books... that I knew when you told me about the Red Wedding that I was hoping would happen in the season finale.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay. But I'm just... So, because of that, I'm disappointed in the finale. And the last scene, the way it ended. And I was like, oh.
Well, is this the first season where they've started, like, mishmashing things from books rather than saying, like, one book equals one season?
Well, this season basically covered... the first half of the third book.
Okay.
Although...
They stole the Theon stuff from later books.
The Theon stuff was, like, invented mostly, and then, like, at the very end, like, hinted at stuff that happens in the fifth book. So, yeah.
Is that just so we don't forget about Theon?
I
think so.
Yeah. Keep that actor on the payroll, basically.
He's got those teeth.
He does have those teeth. They are round.
So in the books, does Theon just disappear for a while? Or like, yes. Is that talked about?
Well, he's talked about, but he's like, I don't think he's in the third book at all. And definitely not in the fourth book at all.
It just seems weird that they'd have him go through this act of the trick with Bran and Rickon and taking Winterfell and then not talk about him for a while.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really about Theon. That was about where we thought... That was about tricking the enemies about Bran and Rickon. Wasn't it? I got the impression that Theon was not as much of a character overall.
He definitely is in the books.
Yeah.
I just like... For me, I tend to like tune the Theon chapters out as well as the. So I'm not the best person to ask about that.
I can't remember if he comes back in 4 or 5, but it's not under the name Theon.
He does in 5, and he Reek. It's and in 5 it's like, who's this new guy Reek until you realize that it's Theon.
So that's another thing that you can do in a book that it's harder to do in a television.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But they were able to, like, because nobody knew that was Ramsay Bolton or Ramsay Snow until
right.
Oh, surprise.
Yeah.
That's the last one.
I mean, that was a thing where it's like, I think they just had, the writers probably felt they had to make an adaptation choice of some kind to, like, get to a certain place. Yeah. And I would say of the major plots in the third season, that was easily the least exciting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What, the Theon stuff?
Yeah. Like every time those scenes came on, I just kind of tuned it out. In the same way that I tuned out all Theon's chapters.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Sorry, Theon.
He disappears because he's, like, captured and we don't know what happened to him in the books, right? Or, like, we don't know if he's killed or...
Yeah, actually, I think we think for a while that he's killed because... Yeah.
Yeah, we think that he's killed, and I feel like, is Winterfell even in the third book, like, at all?
Oh, I don't
even know if it is.
I don't think so, because they don't make it back at least until 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And nobody's there, right?
Right.
We're spending way too much time talking about Theon.
Yeah, I agree.
Check.
But how about that penis, huh?
Yeah. What a twist.
That was a good scene where he was eating the sausage. I liked that.
Was it? Was it a good scene?
That was easily my favorite Theon scene.
Of the Theon scenes.
And because he was talking to me, because I was like, what? He's eating his penis.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, viewer.
I'm not that barbaric.
I like when I fall exactly into the trap of writers on television.
Right.
I do that a lot, actually.
So, overall, I think this season, and I'm going to try to start thinking about it just as a television show for this discussion purposes, but it was very much a very table-setting season, even with the Red Wedding. I feel like even with that, it still... was mostly building to something. Like, we still didn't really get anything with the White Walkers.
We got a lot out of... I feel like a lot has happened with Daenerys, though. And I feel like it's a lot less table-setting than last season.
It is less table-setting
than last
season, still very, like, piecemeal, and still very, like...
Are you guys
going
to say that everything's table-setting until we find out who's won the Game of Thrones, though? So in the final episode,
that's a good point.
We're like, oh,
I think it would, like, for Daenerys, I feel like...
Jon Snow and Daenerys,
by
the way. Yeah. My bets.
That's your fan fiction.
I hope it's not fan fiction.
And they can get married and have babies.
I feel like when they did spend, and this is kind of a common refrain, I think, about the show in general, is that there's so much that goes on. Are you just humming the Reigns of Castamere now? That's a good way to, like, stop somebody from saying something.
I wish I had one of those creepy instruments.
Yeah.
Cello.
I think it's a common refrain for the show is that
cello.
There's...
One of those creepy made-up instruments for the show.
Cello.
Cello.
What's the common refrain?
Thank you, Chris. That there's so much going on, and there are only 10 hours in a season that they can only cover so much ground, and unless the show decides to deviate from covering as many things, then they're kind of stuck by having one scene with Daenerys in one episode that's a cool scene, but then you don't get the same effect out of that as if you spent a little bit more time with them throughout the year. So about the finale, the scene that ended up ending the season was where she met the people of Yun Kai and they embraced her as Misa or mother. And in the book, because we have more depth of character, like that was one of my favorite scenes in the book, and on the show it kind of won. It felt really uncomfortable.
It felt kind of shallow.
It felt shallow, yes.
It felt like a lesser version of the better scene, which was when the Unsullied received her in Astapor.
Right, yeah.
It's just like exactly. That redux. Like,
and also,
frustrated me about it.
Right,
yeah.
And women and children this time. But,
right.
No, I remember you talking about that scene and how much you liked that scene, and I was really, generally, based not having read the books, because it was time to read, well, you can watch stuff, but... Like, based on things that you and others have told me that I know is happening, like, I've been really happy with this series overall in terms of, like, adapting stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, that's a weird thing to say not having read the books, but I feel like scenes that you guys will say are really good scenes in the book, like, usually turn into really powerful scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, the Red Wedding was one that I was like, wow, that was a cool way that they did that. But that scene with Daenerys at the very end, and for that to be the last scene in the season finale... I felt was really disappointing.
Yeah.
Especially, the way she was picked up and carried around. Like, right. That just felt really weird.
Yeah.
Well, it just seems like...
I don't know. I was surprised that they didn't do that scene better in a show that usually does.
Well, I feel like it would have been better if the episode was more devoted to Daenerys, but the episode was mostly not devoted to Daenerys. It was mostly... back to spending a little bit of time at Dragonstone and spending a little montage time at the wall stuff.
That's why the episode before Reigns of Castamere, before the one before the Red Wedding episode, I feel was probably one of the more successful of the season, because it basically was just Daenerys at Yun Kai and Tyrion and Sansa's wedding.
Right. And that was great.
Yeah.
So maybe that's our advice. Like, we spent a ton of time with Tyrion. Focus on fewer things per episode.
Yeah. And the one before that, where we actually got a good chunk of Jaime and Brienne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My favorite characters of the season.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Going back to the whole, like, to use your words, table setting, like, so this is just leading towards something, I do feel like that in the sense that, like, each episode I'm like, ooh, what's going to come next? And I definitely feel that way after the season finale. But, like, I feel like the finale was very much, like, setting up for what's going to come. Like, that was what the whole finale was doing, and kind of starting to bring disparate characters together.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of cool. Kind of repurposing,
like, redirecting people's... my phone talks to me now, so it's
creepy.
That's really creepy.
I was a friend of mine who I texted about Game of Thrones.
Who's this?
Reader.
Another
reader, so I'm texting her reader things. Sorry.
No, but talking about the whole thing as, like, and the tone the voice you two were using was kind of disappointing. Disappointed at the table setting aspect of it?
I wouldn't say that's disappointing. It's just, I would say that's just how I would characterize the season in general.
Because I understand, like, that feeling at the end of this episode in particular. But I also feel like, because it's based on a book and we know it's building towards something and it's called Game of Thrones and there's a war and the whole time, but like I also feel like stuff happens. I don't feel like that's all that this season did or that these episodes are doing.
No, I agree with you in general on that.
Please. I was just going to say, it's like one of the kind of catch-22s of the Journey story, you know, is that the character, especially if you're doing it as a television series, and there's no specific destination, like, the guy hasn't even finished writing the books, right?
Right.
So there is no actual resolution in place yet.
Where are we going?
So we're always...
there so clearly is.
Clearly.
Daenerys and Jon Snow.
Right? Okay, maybe not Jon. I feel like it's obvious that if Daenerys doesn't end up the one at the end, then I'll shoot someone. I won't do that. The 14
angry fans, though.
I'll do something.
Would a comet lie?
Remember, and they're keep, like, all the other characters are these little things where in where just Daenerys will come up, and the dragons keep coming back to the dragons. Mm-hmm. And even today, the that little girl with the scale face,
Grayscale.
Yeah.
Oh, what's her name? Stannis' little girl.
Yeah, when she was, like, just looking through her books.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one that's just a picture of Daenerys Stormborn. And like, I just feel like Daenerys is also the one that they're all totally ignoring. Or
right.
don't know
or they just
there.
Say, have you heard the rumors about the girl in the West or whatever?
Yeah. Which also makes me wonder if, as the show, if that's going to come in and be the end, then, like, you almost don't want to focus too much just on the Daenerys character.
Yeah.
Like, it's like... You know, I mean, that's kind of would be a tricky situation, I would imagine, if I were writing it. Like, if she's going to come in and kind of be the savior figure or the one who's going
to,
like...
Well, that's what I was trying to say, is, like, when you have the journey story without a destination in mind quite yet, or maybe it's in mind, but it's not fully fleshed out, and it's going to take a while to get there, you can't focus on what's going to be the conclusion. You have to focus on, you know, are we getting a satisfying arc from these characters in the moment?
And I feel like we are. I actually don't feel like the show is focusing on the conclusion. I feel like a lot of the individual characters obviously are.
Right.
They're...
And that's what I'm saying, is, like, it's not focusing on a conclusion, but then the question is, do you have satisfying arcs for these characters? And I feel like the thing that's been frustrating about the show, I guess both in season 2 and season 3 for me, is that the characters that they are deciding to focus on are either, as Mark says, just focused on, you know, for bits and pieces for every episode, and so it doesn't end up feeling satisfying because not enough attention's being paid to them, or a lot of attention's being paid to them, but there's not a lot of progress.
Turn it off!
Or like, I don't know, the two examples I keep coming to is, the ones that I like the most are, per usual, Tyrion.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like his arc is always satisfying, because they always try to give him enough attention in each episode, and then like Jaime and Brienne, where it's a character that previously was despisable, and now they're changing it, so it's, you become more sympathetic.
I still feel that way with most of the characters. I know you disagree, but I felt that way with, for the first time as this season developed, about Catelyn and Rob and Rob's wife. Like, I actually feel like...
When did you start caring about Rob and his wife? I get Catelyn. I totally agree with Catelyn, but...
A few episodes ago. I don't know, when they were having, maybe it was just last episode.
Just the episode where she's naked in bed and he's talking.
No, before that, I started caring about her as soon as she was introduced as a character. And she made me care more about Rob. So the more they developed that relationship, the more I started caring. Because Rob, I didn't care about at all. Because
I feel
season.
Like both of them is just, like, very piecemeal throughout the whole series.
I don't know. I think that the little scenes that they had with them together were enough for me that they seemed like real characters that I cared about. Hmm. Especially Rob, who before I thought was very one-dimensional. Like,
some would say that Rob is very much... He's essentially an archetype character. So,
like Ned,
perhaps one might say that you would expect, if you're following a typical fantasy genre, that the son of the father who was wronged will eventually have his day, and instead he was...
Especially the one who is the most of an archetype, of the hero archetype.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Rob is the most...
Because fantasy characters are not always
character
very
of all of...
fleshed out.
Right, yeah.
Or ever, I don't know.
So,
yeah, I don't read that nerd stuff.
One book tidbit is that Rob doesn't have any POV chapters in any of the books, so he's even more of an archetype in the books than he is in the show.
So does the Red Wedding have an impact in the books?
We see that from...
Well, it definitely in a holy shit kind of way.
Right.
Because you said because he doesn't have any point of view chapters, you less expect him to die off?
Well...
Or you more expect him
to... So that particular chapter is from Kat's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole everything that happens to Rob is seen through Kat's eyes, and it's all her perspective, which is very, like, uneasy and already very, like, shrouded in, like, in darkness and mystery, and, like, she's already, like, the way it's described is all very, like, dark, and it's clearly leading to somewhere dark, but it happens right smack dab in the middle of the book. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's like, holy shit, that this huge event just happened in the middle of the book, and Kat is dead, and Rob is dead, and all these people are dead. Mm-hmm. I think so, but also, Chris, I agree with you that I really didn't care at all about TV Rob and Talisa in this case.
I also think it's just the guy who plays Rob's not very good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
In comparison to some of the heavyweights on the show.
Yeah, I think that's true. I did, like, watching that scene, I felt, like, sort of emotionally manipulated, but in a way that I forgive the writer. The writers for, yeah, you know, like the stuff about like her saying what their son's name would be later. Yeah. That
I thought that was
that great. Just made it so much more like gut wrenching to watch.
Literally.
Yeah.
Also, when I was watching the scene with you an episode or two ago, where she tells him that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what? She's not pregnant in the book.
Yeah.
She's not pregnant in the Red Wedding in the book.
No, she's not even at the Red Wedding.
Wait, what?
She's not really a kid. That's kind of...
She's also a completely... She has a different name in the book and everything.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that was obviously... So I kind of also knew, like, oh, they made her pregnant just to make the Red Wedding sadder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, it totally... But then, because you said she wasn't part of the book, then I thought maybe the pregnant was... They wrote in, like, a safeguard for the Starks. Like, for the Ned... Stark line, and that she wouldn't die.
Mm.
Do you know? Because Bran's obviously not going to be a king. I guess even like Rob the person I'm not that interested in. Like I still like Rob the king, just like I really liked Ned the king.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ned the person was like you're too good, but like obviously you want him to be the guy. Like I was still like shocked when they killed Ned at the end of the first season because I was like, but he's the best one. Yeah. So, like, and I don't think Rob is as good as Ned was, or you don't care about him as much as you cared about Ned Stark, but, like, you cared about him because you cared about Catelyn, and she's already lost so much other stuff.
Yeah.
And you care about him because because he's finally gaining on Joffrey, and because you want Sansa, or, Arya to be reunited with her, like, so many people in this story that we care about Rob. I think that's when I started to care about him, too.
Hmm.
You know, like, a lot of people are counting on him. Like, it's basically Joffrey v. Rob.
Yeah.
As far as people know.
At this point, for sure,
and
yeah.
Stannis, you don't want Stannis to win, because he's,
right.
he's, like,
a jerk.
And kind of nutty.
He's a loose cannon.
Yeah.
But though I did, like, I care a lot more about Stannis in this season than I did last season. Not, like, care, like, sympathize, but
right.
I find him more compelling as a character.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
This season.
Yeah. See, Stannis is the one that every single time they show him, I'm like, who's that one again?
Right.
Like, I can't...
He looks a lot like Roose Bolton.
Yeah.
He looks a lot like... Yeah. He looks very British, like everyone else. But he's not as dirty as everyone else.
A little bit
clean. Better haircut.
Yeah.
Because of the red god. Yeah.
Right.
I don't like Melisandre.
Mm-mm.
As a character, or just, like...
I don't like her as a person.
Okay. See...
And I'm starting to not like her as a character anymore. Like, I'm starting to get tired of
that.
Getting bored of the whole Stannis thing. The only people in Stannis' plot that I care about are, like... The onion guy,
Davos,
and other people that like, and like his daughter is like, it's hard not to be like, oh, poor little girl who's locked away. But I like Davos a lot. Like I want him to do well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Stannis is largely interesting because of Davos.
Yeah,
whatever.
And but I don't like Melisandre. I'm done with.
Yeah.
See, going back a few episodes, the episode I think episode seven was the one that George Martin wrote himself and. That was an episode where I actually liked Melisandre.
Is that where she talks about how she was a slave too, or she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean
true.
That I like. I feel like that was a good example of how the show can do character development mm-hmm. in a way that, like, it doesn't really advance the plot at all, but it does make you sympathize with characters more. Like you, mm-hmm. you. That was the first time mm-hmm. I remember seeing Melisandre at all. Like. As a not just like a totally mystical
yeah,
crazy
and see,
person,
I think
you know?
That yeah. seems like that going back to what you're saying about how it's maybe difficult to think about the characters developing as characters because you get such like piecemeal
yeah.
stories. But I think that the show has shown that they can do that in a really short time. Like
right.
I started caring about they did that really well with Cersei, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like without focusing too much
yeah.
on Cersei, like there were brief scenes, like in the Blackwater episode.
Right.
Where
yeah.
I was like,
oh, yeah.
I don't
yeah. totally
need you
changed
anymore.
Yeah.
And even now, there have been moments where you, like, even just like, and maybe it does have to do with the actor too, and maybe the guy who plays Rob is just is not as good as the woman who plays Cersei, but like, the moments where like Joffrey's acting out and you can just like see on Cersei's face without her saying
mm-hmm.
anything,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
where she's like, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like those are
huge.
Moments
yeah.
that I'm like.
All of those scenes with the Lannisters
oh.
meeting at the long table. This season are amazing
pretty
yeah.
because both
yeah.
the both because of the actors and because it gives them a chance to actually
interact
in a way that actually that's interesting because that's probably one of the only examples where it's a scene that can both advance the plot because they're talking about you know what moves they're going to
mm-hmm.
make next
mm-hmm.
but also allows for like little character development bits
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
I know Tywin is like the worst of the villains but I like him so much.
Oh yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And
he's a horrible
Charles
person.
Charles Dance
like,
actor
like,
is
yeah.
fantastic.
Would he be that bad of a king? Like, I, not only do I like him as a character,
I think he would.
I find myself rooting for him a little bit. Like,
well,
certainly against Joffrey, I guess.
Isn't one of the things the show's, like, slowly showing us is that, like, no matter what, whoever's the king is going to be horrible.
Except Daenerys, who has so far done nothing but free slaves.
But you were at saying the question, like, if Daenerys becomes king or queen, at what cost, right?
Yeah, but
yeah.
I meant the dragon. I think that her, like... Because, it will have been at that point so ravaged by the war of everyone else, and
mm-hmm.
then the dragons come, and then winter comes.
Yeah.
So
right.
I don't see it being, like, I don't see it being the same thing in that, like, Daenerys turns.
Caused.
It's not a Macbethian theme,
right.
the way it seems to be with a lot of other characters. Just like I think Ned Stark could have done it.
Yeah.
If you're true of heart, I don't know. Jon Snow, he could do it.
Obviously.
Jon Snow and Daenerys together. And then Ghost Ned Stark is there is the hand.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about Jon Snow for a second.
Yes.
Because I didn't care about him at all last season. But
oh, really? How can you not care about him?
Because what did he do last season? Just walk around and...
Season 2, you mean?
Walk around
yeah.
in the snow.
Yeah.
Adorably.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
curly hair.
I totally forgot. Did he do anything last season? I forgot.
I don't think so. They.
Well,
that's
at the
where
end
they
of
met.
Last season
oh,
when he got
yeah,
captured.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah.
He,
yeah.
yeah,
okay, okay.
His thing starts heating up at the end of the season
yeah.
when we
mm-hmm.
learn about the White Walkers and stuff.
Yeah, and he was walking with Ygritte and...
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally became a thing this season. And I really didn't think I would think that was interesting. But I liked it.
They totally
mm-hmm.
did.
Yeah.
yeah
I had
steam,
a dream about
that
it.
Steamy part. Wow.
Yeah.
kind of a dream?
I had a dream where I was making a YouTube montage video of Jon Snow and Ygritte scenes set to a Jason Derulo song.
Okay, that's worse
sounds
than
sounds like
sex
you
dream.
Liked it.
It turned into a nightmare, though, because I got very stressed when it wouldn't upload to YouTube for some reason.
Man, that's awful.
You're a weird guy.
yeah. But I really like the whole thing of them, you know, having this relationship where you're constantly questioning where their allegiances lie, but also you really do think that they love each other. And
Yeah. I liked the scene in the hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't think they'd have a scene in a hot tub in a show.
There's two. The two.
Beyond
there's also the Jamie and Brienne hot tub scene.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of hot tubs.
A lot of hot tubs for a fantasy Middle Ages show.
Right.
yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, I liked Ygritte. I liked all those characters.
The wildlings. Yeah.
The wildlings.
I felt
a little sad.
Oral dies. He
that
seemed like
all,
he was going to be a thing.
It seemed like
yeah.
they were all going to kind of be a thing, and
yeah.
like. It's like, oh, now, actually, in one swift thing, they're all dead, and we're not dealing with them anymore.
Yeah. Not Tormund Giantsbane, though. He's not dead.
Which one is that?
The guy with the red beard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
No, that's the one that survived, right?
Yeah.
He survived?
Yeah.
Did I
miss... He's the one that holds Ygritte back as Jon Snow's riding away.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought he was killed, too. Oh, then I feel less sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the one who puts his mind into animals got away.
As a bird, yeah.
So what's he gonna do now?
I don't know.
Be a bird, maybe?
Be a bird.
Just be a bird.
Be a bird that attacks people that he sees and...
Yeah, so that was kind of a... That's kind of where Jon Snow's story left off, and then Bran's story. Like, I thought Bran's story was pretty boring until that episode, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was just...
We all do.
They were just walking in the woods. I liked, you know, I like the OSHA things. Like, mm-hmm. She became more of a character, and she's always kind of been interesting, mm-hmm. but...
I liked her story about...
Yeah.
What happened with her husband,
mm-hmm.
which also made me think that the season was definitely going to end. I just thought they were going to end with... Oh, I'm not supposed to spoil
it. We're not talking about the books. So,
yeah. I appreciate
it. Even without the books, I thought that it would end, and it kind of ended focused on the White Walkers, but I thought, like, I thought after that scene with Daenerys, they would go back and, like, that's where the focus is. But there are these, like, ghosts and these horrible things coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it would have been kind of a copy of last season.
I know, but that's
that is how it ended, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff. I mean, they couldn't. I'm not saying show the same footage of, like, mm-hmm. a White Walker going past, but, like...
That's, like, the big thing, right? The winter's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
They've been saying it forever. I think it's a lie.
Well, I mean, in the book, then... Yeah. In the books, you see, it doesn't even start, like, snowing until, like, the middle of the fifth book, so...
Oh, so
we've got a long way to go.
And that's autumn, quote-unquote.
Right.
What
right.
if the twist is that they're actually on Earth, so it's not that, like, the winters are any longer, but they're just, like, pre-humans who had a really short life cycle?
That would,
Like, they're all, like...
that would be
no,
great.
No, nope. They're all flies.
Well, like you said, what if the whole series was just a flash before Bran's eyes as he's falling?
As he's falling, too.
Exactly.
Because we never saw him land at the end of the first
episode.
That's
true, George R.R. Martin.
Yeah. And it ends with him hitting the ground and then Ned coming up and being like, "You okay, son?"
Yes.
And him looking in his eyes like, "I am now dad."
No, he would be dead. It'd be like that short story where it all happens while a guy's about to be hanged. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
American
nope.
short story?
The Civil War one.
Yeah.
Something, owl, isn't there an owl?
Yeah, there's an owl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
anyway.
Keith, by the way.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah. Bran. Okay, kind of boring.
Yeah.
Less boring this season than last season. He still gets, I mean, like...
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, Bran's just an excuse to show Hodor, right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Hodor.
And we realized that Rickon finally had a line, first line.
Like three or
right.
four.
Yeah.
He had his own a couple scenes.
Yeah.
His parents are probably happy because they probably had to pay him an extra $1,000.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God, that's got to suck. All the episodes where they had to dress him, put him in dress and makeup
and
everything.
Just sits there
and he just
like an extra.
With scenery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let Rickon speak.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't that great.
He's
he was okay. He was alright.
Yeah.
He Rickon was
cute.
Yeah,
boy.
Was cute. He's better than those Olsen twins. No offense.
No offense.
Better than the other twins on Full House, those little boys.
Oh, God.
They were like the worst and I know they were babies, but they were still the worst actors ever.
They really were. They really were.
Like, they could have used puppets, or they should have CGI'd them.
Yeah.
Or something.
Speaking of Littlefinger.
Oh, yeah.
Where did he go?
I meant to ask you. So I kind of fell asleep during that episode.
Okay.
And so then I woke up and I saw Roz dead.
So,
God.
Yeah.
That was horrific.
Jesus. Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Not
to have some just plot
Littlefinger
summary.
Was trying to, like.
Try to get Sansa away.
Yeah. But maybe not. And Roz was kind of. Double crossing him with the eunuch
Varys,
right?
And so then Littlefinger kills Roz?
No, he gives her to
Joffrey.
He gives her to Joffrey,
yeah.
But he gives her to Joffrey with the intention of her getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says something really creepy to.
Yeah.
He has like a I would rewatch that scene because it was
really
a pretty
good.
Cool scene that ended with. did you see that very ending of that scene where Jon Snow and Ygritte are on the top of the wall?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
That inspired. I think that's probably when I started dreaming that dream.
Nice.
Because the Jason Derulo song is called "The Other Side," and they go to the other
that's
side
perfect.
Of the wall.
I would. You have to make this YouTube.
I know.
Video.
I'm done with school next week, so.
I would rewatch this. Another thing that I love that now that you bring it up, Qualler, I realize how much like I missed that scenes between Littlefinger and.
And Varys.
Yeah.
Like, those were always really good.
That whole thing with Varys at the beginning of the season was amazing, and him revealing that he captured his tormentor from his childhood.
And he's just in that box.
Yeah. That was amazing.
But, because, I mean, he says something creepy to Varys about, like, I don't like people playing with my thing, or I don't... Littlefinger.
Yeah.
He's a creep. He's definitely a creep.
But he says something that basically, like, in his creepy way that's, like... about what he did to the last person who, like, I can't remember how he says it, and then they cut to Roz dead in the way that, and that was just, like,
awful.
That was really pretty horrible. Joffrey's pretty horrible.
Well, yeah.
He's pretty bad.
That kid, though, that actor who plays him,
the actor's
super good.
Because, like, you can't help but hate him.
It's a joy to watch. Like, the scene, especially in tonight's episode,
it's just
a joy
crazy.
To watch how crazy and creepy he was.
I don't want to overestimate the actual popularity of the show Game of Thrones, but do you think, like,
it's
that
the second
kid is...
most popular show on HBO now.
Okay.
Sopranos.
So you're
not overseeing it.
Is this kid, like, ruining his career?
Oh,
yeah,
right?
Probably.
Like, forever.
He's
no
only
one's
gonna
ever
going
to want to cast
he's
him.
He's
going to
be the romantic lead in the next, like, Tyler Perry movie.
No, he's, like, opposite of, like, Harry Pottering himself.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, what's his name? It's hard to... It's going to be hard for him to get, like, adult... Like, serious roles.
Well, he's already kind of weird-looking.
Yeah.
He looks like
he's going to be in the sequel to The Woman in Black, or what? Like, is that what you're envisioning for him?
No, I'm just saying I feel like...
He's always going to be cast as, like, the crazy, like, if...
The crazy
young kid kind of thing.
Kind of like Walder Frey.
Yeah,
I don't think he's got much of a future in acting, unfortunately.
He's probably going to die
soon.
I think he's already had a... He's at his future.
I know. I was joking. It was a joke.
Hey, Mark.
He can only play creepers.
Har.
This is the first time we clipped on a podcast in a while.
How about that Joffrey? How about that Littlefinger? I wanted to see Littlefinger arrive at the Vale.
Yeah.
And tell Kat's crazy sister, I'm your husband now. Like, I wanted to see that actually happen.
I guess that brings up a good point, is that maybe why, another reason I feel kind of disappointed is that even, like, this, the end of the season didn't have, like, any real, like, gotcha cliffhanger, and maybe that's unfair of me to say that I'm a TV viewer that's trained to expect certain things. But it did feel like the finale was very much like an info dump in every sense, and not even like an artificial type, like, gotcha kind of moment. Like, I would argue the White Walkers scene.
I think
the
scene
ended
with
last
Daenerys
season.
Was supposed to be not a gotcha, but that was supposed to be the big, like, thing.
It was
that
supposed,
didn't really work for me.
So if that would have stuck its landing a little bit more, it wasn't necessarily like a gotcha or like a whoa, that's a huge twist kind of thing.
But it could have shown the magnitude of Daenerys's power.
Yeah.
And, like, Daenerys as a person contrasted with, like, some of the scenes of the other people, like, of Stannis and Joffrey. Like, I also feel like they could have maybe positioned that better to, like, show how she's going about doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with Stannis, like, killing the one, like, what he says about, like, the one innocent could have been really nicely, like, juxtaposed with, like, Daenerys saying, like, this is... We're only storming the city to save free the slaves. Like,
I think they were trying to kind of show her magnitude of power with that, like, giant zoom out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, where they
exactly,
see all
yeah.
of the slaves
yeah.
and then all of her army, but by the time you get that far out to see that many people, it doesn't actually look like that many people.
And you're just looking at the dragons.
Yeah.
Mostly. Yeah.
And we
are way more colorful than I remember them.
Huh.
Were they that color? Were they that, like, green, purple, and...
Yeah, I think so.
Were they purple, though? They were adorable. Colorful. Anyway.
So.
Littlefinger.
Yeah. What would you guys give this season as a grade?
I don't know. Whole? I don't like
Bridget, that's hierarchy,
doesn't
right?
Believe that. I was mostly asking Chris, so it's
cool. I don't know. I love the show, but it's so hard because there's so many different pieces to it. Like,
well, are you grading it against itself or are you grading it against television?
That's a really good question.
Because if we're grading against television, I have to give it an A.
I'll ask you.
If I'm grading it against itself, I would give it like a B+.
It's also strange because I think Game of Thrones is the only drama that I've watched in like the past 6 months, like while it's been airing.
Mm, yeah.
And so like.
Does Law and Order count?
Yeah.
But it has to be new ones.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I guess as far as serialized television, you guys. I've been so out of the loop lately, but. You made a good point about talking about like the, you know, what we're trained as TV viewers, but like one thing Game of Thrones definitely trained us with season 1 and season 2 is like season 1 Ned Stark dies in episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
In season 2 Blackwater happens in episode 9. And
yeah.
Like maybe it was me also feeding into internet hype, but like I thought like Red Wedding was going to be like just like as big as Blackwater, just as big as Ned Stark dying. And
I think it was as big as Blackwater.
But because I don't really care about Robb Stark,
You have to think about it in terms of the arc of the whole thing, though.
Yeah, and I get that. But like, as far as like personally affecting, like I was personally affected when Tyrion went down in the Battle of Blackwater. I was personally affected when Ned Stark got killed.
I was personally affected when Ned Stark got killed. Blackwater was an epic battle that was awesome to see, but I was not personally affected.
Affected by Tyrion and Cersei in that
Tyrion's
episode.
Tyrion's not going to be.
No, but like I'm not talking, and that's why we're going back to the question of like, not what is the outcome of these characters, but what's satisfying as far as their arc goes.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm invested in Tyrion, and I became invested in Cersei in that episode.
Yeah, that's true. But I didn't feel like an emotional like punch to the stomach, the way I did with Ned Stark, and the way I actually felt with the Red Wedding. Like that was like a gut wrenching they're taking these people away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get that in Blackwater, even though I really liked Blackwater.
Yeah.
But I felt like Blackwater was very different, and this I thought was more similar to Ned Stark thing.
Yeah,
but also
I think
part of it that might be not as shocking or whatever is that like the Ned Stark thing at the end of season 1 also trained us to like.
Yeah.
So I think hadn't done any of that stuff, and like then it would have been like, wow, these are some main characters that they're killing off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once they did that with Ned Stark, it was like you come to expect main
all
characters to be
yeah.
killed off.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, by episode 9 of season 3, I don't see, like, in the scheme of the game, obviously Robb Stark's the main character, but in the scheme of the show, Robb Stark's not even really on my radar.
I think that's a personal thing for you, though.
Maybe, yeah.
And that you're wrong about it.
But even like Catelyn, like I like her as a character, and I think the actress is amazing, especially in that scene where she's screaming at Walder Frey. But like even her, we only checked in on her for a couple minutes each episode, and that's not enough for me to get invested. Even if
I
know
like there
that.
Were a lot of Rob stuff this season, weren't there?
There's more of Cat, I think, throughout the season. There's definitely more, like the episode where. What was it? Her dad was dead, and they had the Viking funeral, and like that scene said a lot about the Tully family and her. I feel like Kat was handled pretty well this season, and I like her as a character, and she was well developed. Whereas Rob, I still think in general he was very one dimensional. So his death personally doesn't affect me the same way as like Ned does, but it does affect me in the sense that like it affects Arya and it affects Sansa. And I think one thing we haven't covered too much tonight is Arya. I really,
what a pistol.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of like what the net effect of the Red Wedding is like it affects like the other Starks that I care about more.
Yeah.
It means Arya has to go to Braavos now. That's all she has left.
Yeah,
she has to go to
the
Bella
scene where
Margolis
she
thing and
where she pulled out
color.
The coin and the musical cue that we now come to know as like the mysterious Braavos come hither musical cue.
Going back, one last thing about like the Red Wedding that I thought was good in terms of, like, the order of the characters that we care about, like, if you don't know what's going to happen or you can't predict what's going to happen, like, it's still... They still kind of make you think up until the last minute that maybe Kat's not going to be killed,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Like, I like that they... I thought so, anyway.
Yeah.
Like, that they...
Yeah.
They kill,
even after...
They stab... They kill the wife first, so you know she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like... And then she's like, okay, let's end it. Like, I'm wounded. And, like, that would be enough. Like, if it's still kind of a bloodbath in terms of, like, all these other people are dying, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They could have, like, let her go. And then... Same with Rob. And then they kill Rob. And then it's right at the very last... Like, right before they cut...
Yeah.
And she's just, like, standing there, that they come and slice her throat.
Yeah.
Like, I really like the way they also... Also, I feel like if you had no idea what was going on, or if it was, like, less of a thing that had been hyped up or whatever, that, like, the way that they wrote that and filmed that and that scene, I still thought was good, with, like, leaving her till the very last minute, where you might almost think that she's not going to be one of the characters that's going to die. It's, like, going to be tragic for her because her son was just killed, and because everyone else was killed, and because... Now she's a prisoner. Like, now what's she gonna do, right? She can't go back to Winterfell. So things still could have been really bad for her.
Yeah.
And then they just end it, like... I don't know. I just really liked the way that scene played out.
I liked the way they did it because it seemed almost like... Kind of like the way you were talking about her death almost seemed like an afterthought. But, not, like, not really an afterthought because she is a main character. She is a... you know, she's one of the people we want to root for, right? But, like, just the way the guy kind of just walks up to her, you know... Slit's throat,
yeah,
and then they cut away. It was like, it was an afterthought in the sense that, like, it makes you think about how, I don't know, just sort of how powerless they were in their in that situation, and like how, yeah.
I like when she was telling Rob to get up and run.
Oh, like, my God, that was, yeah.
He didn't care because his wife is dead. Like, he's not. I don't know.
That was a really powerful moment for her, too. That also, I think, fed into that, like. She has this really powerful moment, and then he just, you know.
So do they still let her cousin be married to the Frey girl?
Yeah.
He's a hostage now.
Okay.
Yeah. Edmure.
What a jerk. Like, oh, my wife's gonna be ugly. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rob could have just married one of the Frey daughters.
Yeah, if he would have just married a Frey daughter and just had his woman on the side, like Tony Soprano, or like...
All the great men.
Or like, yeah, like all, every president ever.
Tyrion's trying to.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, how about that little dynamic,
yeah.
huh?
Yo, I'm glad that...
I really liked in this episode, sorry, the Sansa scenes with Tyrion, where she's starting to finally warm up.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Because I've been really consistently angry with her, because I'm like,
yeah, he's
get over yourself.
Be a
like
rat.
He's nice, although she doesn't really. I think someone else pointed out that she doesn't see all the scenes of Tyrion that we see, so she doesn't know that
yeah.
he's.
And she's also 14.
She's also
oh,
14,
yeah.
and then and he's
I forget
also,
that because she looks like an adult.
Right. The rest of her family then also continues to do crappy things to her, the rest of her family. And
yeah.
so all that she can see is that, like, oh, your brother, you know.
Yeah, you're a Lannister.
So, yeah.
Right.
So I kind of, I also have that, like, war with myself about Sansa because she's, it's like, come on, Tyrion's really nice. There's the rest of his family that's totally awful.
But I think she's starting to see that, or I don't know.
Well, she was, I think, but then the Red Wedding happened and she knows the Lannisters are involved in that. So that
yeah.
final scene between them where
yeah.
she just
and
looks
it brings
at him
it
like,
back to square one.
Yeah. I thought that was really good.
I love the scene. After it was like right after Tyrion and Sansa go back to their room at the wedding night, and then you see Cersei and Loras up in the balcony, and Loras like tries to say something to her, and Cersei just basically says like nobody cares.
Yeah,
yeah, that was really great. I don't
that
care for Cersei,
great.
But that was awesome.
Yeah,
poor Loras.
That's the thing that I think the show has developed as it's gone on is those little scenes where it's just. A couple words, or even
yeah.
like tonight's scene where it was, I don't think Cersei and Jaime even said anything to each other, but
yeah.
they looked at each other. Like, those are the scenes that I think are very, like you were saying, Chris, like they advance the plot and also
characters.
Give you character development. Like, you've, like, even though Cersei and Jaime are both pretty much, they do bad stuff. You know, Cersei more than Jaime, like, you still felt, like, happy that they were reunited, even though
Yeah, well, so it's so,
which is weird, complicated Jamie. Thought.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of like Jamie.
Because we liked Brienne from the beginning, and I feel almost like when she started to like Jamie,
yeah.
mm-hmm. like we start to like Jamie too. That gave us permission to like him, yeah. And when he obviously is looking out for her, like...
His speech about becoming the Kingslayer.
Yeah.
Like that's, I think that's probably my
favorite. I thought you were going to say Klingon.
I did see Star Trek, though.
Yeah. I think that's how we get to like Jamie, yeah, is through... Brienne gives him a reason to open up
yeah.
to the audience, right?
Right.
Oh, and that bear scene.
Oh my god. Yeah.
What did you say? It was just like the end of Anchorman?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
So, yeah.
Same
Baxter.
But it would have been a dire wolf.
Yeah.
That would have been
right. Exactly. Shaggy dog could have had his day in the sun.
I understand that, like, a lot of people, like, they, like, know that a lot of people who watch this show have read the books, but a lot of the names that they just drop, like, of characters, like, not having read the books, like, I feel like I have to ask you guys, like, who? Like, what yeah. did they just say? And I think it's not so important that I couldn't get by without it, but I also feel like they throw in a lot of little things that, like...
Yeah, I have the captions on when
someone,
I watch it.
Like, or, like, knowing someone who's read the books that I can ask about it, which then leads to spoilers, which I don't care about, like... helps a lot. Like, I feel like a lot of it is almost, like, written for people who have...
Yeah.
Who already know what's gonna happen. I don't know. Or yeah. already know these. Like the names of all the wolves that, like... It's like, what? Who? Who's Shaggy Dog?
It's one of the wolves.
What a stupid wolf name.
Well, a three-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
So, next season...
Wait, well, who have we not talked to now?
I don't know.
I think we did a good job.
Sir Jorin? I like him.
Jorah.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that Daenerys should... I am afraid that this new pretty guy, this Fabio...
Dario.
Just call him Fabio. Because really...
I don't totally trust him for some reason.
Oh, yeah, he's got that smile.
Too pretty, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what
too
but also, looking. Like, I know, Qualler, you keep saying, and, like, you've read the books, and you're like, no, Jorah's, like, creepy with Daenerys, but in the show, he doesn't come off as creepy at all. I don't think. He just comes off as, like, this...
I think he comes off just creepy enough.
I don't know.
I would say it's inherently creepy. He's a lot older than Daenerys, and he's a lot more, like, fatherly to Daenerys.
I don't get
along.
That dynamic in the show, because Daenerys also isn't super, super young
yeah,
in the show.
I think that eases that a little bit for me as well, because she's not 14, right?
She seems in her 20s, and he seems in his 30s.
I don't see it as I don't even see it as an age thing. I see it as, like, a protectiveness thing, and, like, a...
Well, it's his job.
Well, yeah, but, like, the creepiness changes between my protective because it's my job and my protective because I'm in love with her.
But why does that have to be... So why is that creepy and not romantic? That's what I'm wondering, and I...
Because he knows that he can't have her, and he has this utmost respect for her, and yet he can't shove these emotions away. And so, like...
That made it sound more romantic.
But it comes across as creepy because, like, anytime, like, this new guy, Fabio, comes in, then he has, like, this sneer on his face where it's just, like, Jorah, get over yourself.
Would you not be in love with Daenerys? I would be.
Well, of course. But, like, Grey Worm's doing all right.
I would be mad, too, if, like, he was, like... Hey, I've been serving you for a long time, and remember when I was, like, your only ally? Mm-hmm. When you were first with the Dothraki, and all you care about is, like, is Fabio okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a little jealous, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think that Jorah's emotions are unfair or unworthy, but I think that that's one of the things that you end up playing against your feelings for Daenerys. Obviously, Daenerys is a good person. Like, you called her the Abraham Lincoln of the show or whatever. But you still question this question.
Abraham Lincoln meets, like, Jesus is how they present right. her.
Especially.
But you still question, like, yeah. when you get power, you do get corrupted. And so...
Not Daenerys.
I think she's getting corrupted.
Maybe I'm Jorah. Maybe I look at her through the eyes.
Maybe.
You think she's getting corrupted? In what way?
She's passed around like a messiah through all these this crowd of people. How's that not going to lead to her think she's already
okay,
think
going
she's
to
had
lead
a big
to,
head.
That I don't think she's got.
But like
a big
Jorah
head.
And Barristan were like questioning her tactics for mm-hmm. taking over Yunkai, and mm-hmm. while she turned out to be right, one of these times isn't she eventually going to be wrong?
No, she has dragons.
Okay.
And she knows things, and they should respect her.
But our dragons. Are they? Have we? What have we learned about the dragons? I'm sorry. I'm kind of. I'm kind of leading us into. I think for the show, we've come to expect that things don't go the way they expect. So if the show just led us to a way where Daenerys was just like right all the time, then that would be pretty lame.
It'd be boring.
Yeah. And it would be boring.
It already got kind of boring.
Right
when...
all the time, but I don't see her as being corrupted yet.
Oh, Pete, slowly. Mm. It's cascading.
Well, I think she's
Jon Snow is
uncorruptible. Yeah, okay. I think she's embracing things that she is not realizing, like, there's more complexity to it.
Yeah.
And so means well, but is that what you're saying, Chris?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Like, she means well,
she
but, like,
jumps into things because she knows she has the power of the dragons, and
right.
That's all good and well in Yun Kai.
For now.
It's a little shithole in the middle of nowhere.
If you want to talk in, like, business terms, she's, like, a CEO who's young and upcoming. And,
right.
But, like, doesn't have the strategic planning background that will help her.
You made it boring.
That's a show I would watch.
So that's we were trying to think of, like, what the American analogy would be that George R. R. Martin says that...
It's Exxon?
It's the recession.
Yeah, this is actually all about the recession. Yeah.
The fat cats in Washington, something,
right.
Something.
Occupy Wall Street. No, that's going to be covered by the newsroom, so don't worry.
They would not overlap.
Yeah.
How about Sam? That was another scene that, like, I think was underplayed, how shocking it was when the Night's Watch all started, like, turning on each other.
Oh, yeah, that was a great scene.
I was like, what?
That was awesome.
That I didn't see coming at all. Like,
cool.
And they kill.
I totally forgot about that from the books too. So even
and they kill
like,
the old guy. That was like a shock that they didn't go back to.
Yeah.
I guess I wanted more of that too. Like, when are we gonna get back to, like, the fact that the Night's Watch is totally falling apart and, like,
yeah,
where are?
Yeah.
But at least Sam is a really pleasant nerd.
Yeah.
Right, and I liked him better in this last scene that he had in this episode than in the books, because he can be really whiny in the books, but here he was like. No, Master Aemon, Maester Aemon, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Gilly, and we should take her in.
Yeah.
Right.
He really, I think you're right, Ashley. Like, he really became more... He had an arc this season where he started as, like, a guy who, like, wet himself and ended, like, proudly saying
something.
Well,
the first person who killed a White Walker in thousands of years.
Right.
Like, that's pretty good.
Right, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, like, even more so than that, like, he came to realize that he can have agency.
Even more so
himself.
Mm-hmm. Than killing a White Walker?
Well, I know that's like, okay, that's a thing that happened in the book, but, like, I'm talking about him as a character, like...
Being able to assert
he
some,
became
like,
more
yeah.
confident because
right.
he killed a White Walker, and because...
Yeah.
Or was it... Was... His confidence the reason he killed the White Walker? That's the question.
Alright.
Alright.
There's a lot of incest in this.
Oh my god,
I glossed over. Like, every time Gilly would mention, like, my father, it's like, and your baby's father. Like, it was like,
it's
creepy. I don't want to dwell on it, but, like,
yeah.
My baby daddy daddy.
Yeah.
Baby daddy daddy.
A lot of that stuff.
Yep.
You were asking about next season. From a non-book reader's perspective.
Yeah, what do you hope to see next season?
Daenerys getting the fuck to Westeros.
Daenerys meeting up with Tyrion.
Yeah, I was...
Or with anyone. Daenerys' plot finally overlapping with other people.
More Bronn and Tyrion scenes.
Oh, yeah. More Podrick Payne.
Yeah,
Podrick!
The girls giggling at him was pretty funny.
That's a weird side thing that I hope is going somewhere.
Yeah.
Less Theon. Or Theon can die.
That's what I was hoping. It's like, why don't they just end with him being like, okay, I'm bored of torturing now. You're dead. But apparently his sister's gonna blah, blah, blah. Fuck it.
Yeah, and that is... I don't think that's the way it went in the books. So, and it's
that,
also the way that they seem to be suggesting that she is really invested in, like, freeing Theon seems even worse than, like, the books.
Because that was one of the few things I liked about Theon in season two, is, like, the strained relationship between his sister and his father.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, here it seemed pretty straightforward, like, father doesn't care about him, sister totally cares about him.
Yeah.
Right, and that, I feel like that really was a shift from last season. Like,
yeah.
That's too bad.
With a character that we haven't seen in a really long time.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to see the winter finally, like, the battling, like, things that were alluded to when, so they talked about the White Walkers, but they also mentioned dead people coming back. Like, when the wildling who's helping...
Osha?
Yeah, Osha. When she was talking about what happened to her husband. I feel like that's one of those stories that's foreshadowing, like, here's another horrible thing we're going to have to deal with, in addition to the White Walkers.
On the Brotherhood, are they going to come back into it? Don't tell me.
Yeah.
But I liked that.
Oh, I want to see Arya go to Braavos and meet up with What's-His-Face.
More Arya.
What's his name?
Jaqen
H'ghar.
Yeah, I would like to see him come back. Brienne. I wonder how they're gonna keep her around. I hope so.
I'm guessing based on what he gave her the coin.
Yeah, I know. I know that he's gotta come back.
You're so mean, Paul. I want the dragons to get bigger.
They probably will.
I want to see Daenerys ride a dragon.
Oh yeah, like an avatar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I guess so.
So you heard our demands, George.
I will say that
Benioff.
I want Joffrey.
I hope that they don't randomly add as many characters as it felt like.
Oh my God.
George Martin randomly added to the next few books.
Oh, there's
like
even more.
Kind of way.
Even more.
Yeah.
So many.
Like the tailies a little bit.
Oh, did you know there's another half of this world?
Yeah. Basically.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, which ones? Who are those? The two.
From Lost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't
agree. So, my most non-spoilery prediction or hope is that they just. Don't go too overboard then.
Yeah. More focused episodes.
Yeah.
Pick 3 or 4 characters.
You already killed off like a few characters. You killed off Rob, so like now you have more opportunity to focus on the ones that are still there.
No, I'm just gonna replace it with something else.
I wanna see Joffrey finally get killed.
I could wait on that. I like watching him.
Yeah. I don't want him to go away as an actor. Like a presence on the show, or Tywin. Like, I want them to stick around.
I disagree. I hate Joffrey so much. Like, he is fun to watch as a villain, especially when he gets told off and sent to bed by his grandfather. But,
it's hilarious.
Oh, every time he's on the screen, I just cringe.
I, also want to see what's happening with Littlefinger.
Yeah.
The Vale.
Yeah.
I want to get more of the feud between Littlefinger and Varys.
I want Bran to get more interesting.
Yeah.
The three-eyed crow.
And they're going to be on the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing some cool magic stuff, but I don't know.
The first time I felt like this is a cool Bran scene in the show at all was where he warped into Hodor. And that was mainly because, it wasn't mainly because of Hodor, but it was cool to like see him do it.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time coming and a lot of, like, wandering and, like, sitting at a campfire.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Telling ghost stories.
I feel like this is a tricky show to film because of all the children involved. And, like, children that age change a lot from season to season.
Yeah.
Because, like, they grow up. Like, you already see, like, how much Sansa's changed from the first season. And she's still supposed to be a 14-year-old.
Right.
And, like, Arya is obviously, like, starting to grow up. And, like, they're hiding her in, like, boy clothes, but like she, you know what I mean, and like Bran is start, his voice is starting to change. So like I wonder how they handled that, because one thing that I don't know how much it matters, but I get confused with when I'm watching the show is how much time has actually passed. Like how much time has passed now since Ned Stark is dead, because if you look at like the actors growing up, it's like a couple of years, like the actual show, but it seems like it hasn't been a couple of years that this war has been going on, right? Been months, or is that a thing you can answer from having read the books? Like, what's the timeline that we're looking at?
Time.
It's been a while.
Some
I wouldn't say years, but I would think,
It's been less than years. I do know, the only thing I know is that the fourth book was supposed to, the original plan was that the fourth book would pick up 5 years after the events of the third book, but then then that's not how he wrote it. So,
right.
So instead, he added a whole bunch of new characters.
I think like maybe a year or something.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like what happened at the end of this season versus like the end of the first season is probably like a year.
Okay.
At most.
Because the kids are growing up faster than that.
Well, yeah, and, like, if you think, like, Daenerys has gone from, like, baby hatched dragons to ruling a city, and the dragons are, like, sort of big.
Yeah.
So you, if, I don't you, know wanted, how quickly if you wanted, like, a timeline. If you wanted to...
Yeah, right. Are they, like, elephants, or are they, like,
puppies? Right, right. Well, just look up your encyclopedias about dragons.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Oh yeah, so my grade?
Yeah, what's your grade?
I don't know, A minus, B plus.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it again next
season.
Seems
like you liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Would you say, like, Chris, since you watched most of this season in a binge watching, did you feel like that affected the way that you watched
it? I definitely prefer watching Game of Thrones binge season. I think we talked about the end of season two last year when I watched it on a weekly basis, and I was like, I don't feel like much happened.
Yeah, right.
But like,
well, you're cranky.
Yeah. But watching a bunch this, I think I probably would have been very much crankier if we were doing this podcast and I had been watching it week by week.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I feel like if, like, when I watch it in a bunch, like, it's like, oh, I'm more interested in, like, the whole arc of it. But when I watch it week by week, then I care less about it not moving someplace and just enjoy each episode more. Because I actually thought in this season, as opposed to last season, like, each episode I really liked. Because I actually felt that way last season, and this season, watching it week to week, I didn't feel that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually really enjoyed each episode, just, like, alone with what was happening. Mm. And in fact, many times was like, this is my favorite show ever.
You did say that to me a few times.
Like, yeah. So.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I like it. It's good. Ashley just shook her head.
Yeah, I don't like grades either.
Okay, but rank the three seasons so far in from best to worst.
I don't know. Yeah, no. I binge watched seasons 1 and 2, so those two kind of blur together for me. But
yeah.
I don't know, I think this season is my favorite.
Yeah.
Because we're learning more about different characters, and as much as I liked Ned, you know, we are pruning some of the characters away, mm-hmm. right? So we can learn more about them, but...
That's a nice way to think of it.
I guess.
Garbage metaphor.
Yeah, sort of pleasant. So I think this one's my favorite. But that could also be because it's the one that I just finished watching.
Yeah, I think... I would say if I'm going to rank the seasons in general, it's really hard to do because I think every season has its own interesting arc. I think the first season is a kind of a testament or like kind of a good example of a show that kind of established itself that you think is going to go one way and it ends up the Ned being executed ends up taking the show in a completely different direction. So it ended up, it started as very much like a very straightforward fantasy
story.
Epic and turned in a way that you don't expect it to. And I think the third season ended up being very similar to that. Knowing what happens in the books, you know that the Red Wedding is a very much like a turning point for all of the plots in the whole show, and a lot of what happens in the future pivots off of what happened there.
I just remembered how the first season, because we were talking about the penultimate episode, but the first season, actually, now that I'm remembering the final episode, the final scene is Daenerys coming out of the fire with her baby
with the dragons.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was an awesome scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that one, like, I feel like this season was maybe trying to recapture that with the penultimate being a killing off of characters and kind of like how you're supposed to feel with Ned Stark,
mm-hmm.
and then the final scene being this epic Daenerys scene, but neither had the same gravitas.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that a...
Yeah.
I think the Red Wedding had the same gravitas for me, but not the Daenerys.
Because now that I'm remembering my experience of watching the first season, that I was, like, totally shooken up by, like, Ned Stark. But then I remember not even caring about the Ned Stark thing when they ended it with Daenerys and her dragons, because that, like, totally blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
But also, again, like, not having read the book, like, I didn't know that that was a thing that was happening. I had no idea these eggs were going to hatch and be dragons. Like, that was just,
you
like...
You knew they were dragon eggs.
Yeah, but they weren't supposed to hatch.
We weren't expecting them to hatch before the season was over.
I didn't know that they were going to be dragons at all.
Oh, you thought that maybe it was, like, all
well, because they were dragon eggs, but no one thought that they were actually going to hatch into dragons. They were like currency.
Right. That's right, yeah.
Right? So this was before we knew that, like, that dragons were going to be part of the show. And when she, like, emerges from the flames and she's naked with the dragons on her, like, that was
pretty
amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Way more powerful than anything than the...
Yeah, that gave me... That, like, when I watch it on YouTube, which I do sometimes. That gives me goosebumps. And I...
How often?
Oh, I don't know.
Just when I'm teaching?
Once a week. Whereas I don't think there's any way that the Misa scene will... Which is sad, because, like, I remember reading that chapter to you, Bridget.
Yeah.
And, like, being like...
Is you were kind of choked up the way it was written.
They love her. And like, the other...
It was less like a Messiah, less like a saving.
Yeah.
And more like a thing for... It,
well,
it
saving,
was more,
but also...
It revealed more about, like, Daenerys, it seemed like, as a character. Because part of her thing is that she could never have children. And, like, I mean, it was more about... I don't know. But
yeah.
It was more about, like, you cared about it. Less on, like, an epic scale and more on, like, a what
personal.
This meant for Daenerys personally. Mm-hmm. Like, you got the sense that she was really touched and emotional about it. Not that she was, like, being carried off on...
Not like, this is awesome, I'm crowd surfing. But,
yeah.
Like, but more like, I remember when I couldn't have a baby with Khal Drogo, but now these are my children. I think that's the thing that, like, is missing at the end, is, like, that connection between, like, these are her children
and
like, you didn't get that really, I don't think you got that, like, from the show at all.
No,
like,
because you don't have her internal monologue.
Right.
Right, how do you...
Right, yeah.
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 They should have done a flashback.
Yeah. Or, like, a voiceover, maybe, of her thinking, like,
that's what
these people really do love me.
What if in the next season they do voiceovers?
Yeah. That's a suggestion, D.B. Weiss and... voiceovers. Think about it.
A lot of them.
Throw them in everywhere.
Actually, the whole show.
And a lot of black and white flashbacks of people remembering things.
We're a little hazy.
Yeah. But mostly reminding us of, like, Ned and the Red Wedding.
Yeah.
As the North happened earlier in the same episode.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And subtitles to show us who's the name, who we're...
We
what character
the
like
the video.
On,
like they do
want.
On, or like on the MTV shows.
Yeah.
Or on, like, Boardwalk Empire when they're like, Chicago.
Yeah.
When they...
That
like,
would be helpful. I know, if a show can tell us when they're in Chicago, maybe you could tell us when you're in, like, this other made-up land we've never
heard of. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Or Jurassic Park. You know, Isla Nublar, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
A lot of suggestions.
Do we have time to have a spoiler section, or should we wait for that for another episode?
It's been an hour and a half. So.
Wow, really?
Okay.
I
hope you enjoy listening as much as we enjoy reading.
Mom.
So, yeah, if you guys want, especially if you guys want to do that on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm around, go for it.
Yeah.
I'll spoil all the spoilers.
For this week, we're done.
Thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure discussing Season 3 Game of Thrones. You can find us online at theblogwriter.com and Facebook, Twitter, Google+. And
how about that Netflix?
Netflix is our sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a free 2-week trial courtesy of Fancy Pants Gangsters and the Blog Later Radio via bit.ly/blogflix. That's BLOGFLIX. And the link's on your screen in case you don't want to jot that down. You can get tons of series on there that we podcast about. And once again, a reminder, the new season of Rest Development's on there. Almost done with that. Hopefully we can do an episode on that. At least me and Jerks. Have you guys watched any of that?
I watched the first episode last night. And why didn't anybody tell me that Mad Men was good? No, I'm just kidding. I started watching Mad Men again, and it's very good. Just watched Far Away Places. That was awesome.
Bridget's not a part of that.
Jerk.
No.
Whatever.
I'm Dawn. I'm still selfish.
I'm the other characters. I'm also still selfish. The 60s.
Bridget.
Now you don't have to podcast about it. No, I'll watch it.
You'll just complain a lot.
I guess that's a good places I need to remind everyone that our
opinions are valid. Our opinions are Valor Margolin.
Then there was some fair, all black and brown and covered in hair.